You upload the
photos? Yeah.
Sean.exe, stop responding.
Ding! Ding! Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is episode 53, and I actually had to look down to check that. This has been a long week. This is a podcast about music news and music culture. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
You're tired. You're injured.
I'm dead.
Your mic needs to face your voice.
That's how I feel about everything.
Yeah, his mic is just leaning over to the left. But yeah.
As everything tends to do.
Yeah. Dear God, I hope your battery survives this podcast. Put in battery saver, please.
That's literally right now. Like, battery saver up. Battery saver, baby.
Yeah, we'll try. This is actually going to be a pretty short episode, yeah. Because there wasn't a lot of music news. Unlike Pitchfork, Enemy, and a lot of the other websites, we can actually just tell you that not a lot really happened in music, and we're not going to make a big fuss about it. We're not going to try to fill time, because there wasn't even enough ridiculous news for No Chill Island. But also,
it's close. But
also, we're extremely busy and tired and defeated by this week. But
yes.
Two triathlons in 1 month. That's hilarious. But the new single of this week that we have is Goldlink and Miguel teamed up for a song called Friends. That is...
Friends.
Got Friends. Good catch. Don't
got
sleep.
Friends.
Got Friends. But what'd you think about this song?
It's refreshing not to hear trap. actually, it wasn't bad. The production, everything was pretty solid. Nothing wild or anything, just
has kind of like a string instrument backdrop thing that's really cool. We have like rap flute, now we have rap string.
I'm down. Can we have rap piano? We kind of do.
I'm down for like rap cello.
Rap cello? I'm down. Maybe. Rap viola?
Rap viola? Rap tambourine, now that.
No, because then it's just going to end up being Tom dancing around doing Wolf at a Door.
No, it's just going to be that little jingling noise, but like trap snare, so it's going to be like super jingle.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's so bad. But
RIP headphone users.
Yeah, RIP headphone users. Another big thing that happened legitimately last night, and so we couldn't be bothered to care, Jay-Z and Beyonce released an album together called Everything Is Love. And
is that seriously the title? All right.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean... Isn't the Jay-Z Beyonce thing now like almost in Kanye West publicity stunt territory where they had an open thing and I think they handled it in a little bit better, more natural of a way, but it's
there. But there's those celebrities.
Yeah.
Celebrity artists.
And so by having, because Jay-Z was 444 was Jay-Z's like repentance album, and like Lemonade was Beyonce's that album. And this is like how they come together. And so I haven't listened to it because it's on Tidal and it came out last night and I'm busy and...
And fuck it.
Yeah, it's probably fine. World's not gonna end. We don't need to know about that.
And
now,
next segment.
Introducing our new segment.
Rap beef, nigga!
Punk ass move. Jerry Dream ass nigga. Do fingers, nigga.
So, rap beef time. I got that clip from the Boondocks and it's a national treasure.
It's beautiful.
What isn't beautiful is Rich the Kid's Instagram photo where he was robbed at gunpoint and hospitalized. You can check Rich the Kid's Instagram. It's still up. He's in a hospital bed. Looks pretty dinged up.
He looks pretty fucked up, man.
Like, yeah. apparently, yeah, masked men stormed inside the house demanding cash and jewelry, and they allegedly assaulted the rapper and got away with a lot of money. The reason why this is in the rap beef segment is because apparently he's got this little thing with Lil Uzi Vert. Because last week or 2 weeks ago, we reported that they got into a fight at a Starbucks.
Yeah, yeah.
In Philly. Not the worst thing to happen in May in a Philly at a Starbucks.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's unclear whether Lil Uzi Vert's connected to this, but I mean, you know.
Rap beef. It could be, you know. Next, you know, Black Escalade shows up, rolls down the windows, and we got drive by again. And then we're full in rap beef.
We will be talking about, I usually talk about the albums we're going to be doing. J-Rock's album Redemption, Sophie's new album Oil of Every Pearl's Uninsides, and Superfly. We talk about the movie that we just saw and the score that was done by Future.
It was about the album. We'll get to that later. Just the picture, of this.
Oh, yeah. And then next in the rap beef segment, Tekashi 6ix9ine and who's the other one's name? Chief Keef are apparently at it. Each one's talking about, apparently one of them, I honestly can't keep track of SoundCloud rappers anymore, but one of them was shot at in New York. I forget it was whether...
At least Tekashi.
Yeah, I think Tekashi 6ix9ine was shot at, and then Chief Keef, there's this beef going on between them, just like words going back and forth, not even a diss track. I mean, I think there's Tekashi 6ix9ine beef where, you know, there's words going back and forth and they're kind of taunting. You can't really tell whether it's a beef or not. There's Drake Pusha T beef where we're just in the rap game and we know we're getting a little disrespectful. Ugh. And then we get to Rich the Kid.
We get to Rich the Kid, actual crimes happening, actual homicide attempts.
Yeah.
Armed robberies.
We got Beyond Burgers. We got like B grade beef. Then we got that like A grade. Mm-hmm.
And then we get that rotting Kenyan cattle that's died like 8 days ago beef.
Okay, you know what? Whatever Eric Trump brings in is whatever he brings in. And I'm honestly kind of proud of him.
Okay. Okay.
Let's talk about J-Rock's album Redemption because, well, it's, we were kind of talking about this off camera before we started recording that J-Rock is weird this week in that, or like weird, not this week, but in this sense because it's not super trappy, although a lot of the songs kind of go in between trap and not, but it's a lot more of a rap album than really a lot of what's out there. Trap is super taken over. We saw like the crest of it last year. Now it's just, we thought it was everywhere last year. It's almost all there is this year.
It's all there is this year, just about, except there's a few exceptions, and Redemption is one of those exceptions. Another weird thing is on Spotify, at least, they had both versions of Redemption, the non-parental advisory explicit content, and then the parental advisory explicit content version, which I was wondering why I was listening to Keen's Dead. Fucking kill my life. I would listen to that song again. I go, why is it bleeped out? And I look, I go, oh, this is the TV.
Safe
this
version.
Is the TV-14 version of the album.
This is the self-censorship
now
version.
This is the HBO version. We want the HBO version. We want full gas.
If I could really fast complain about Spotify's publishing team, they're fucking up major. Kid See Ghosts is still out of order on my phone. Like, all the songs make no sense. I tried to play Fourth Dimension. I've now accepted that it's, like, Cuddy's, like, whatever. Everything's fucked up there. I tried to listen to Sophie's album on Friday as it should come out.
Oh, that was a mess.
And it wasn't on Spotify, and then it was appearing blank, like, and then it appeared while all their songs, like, blacked out, and it just wasn't there at all. I ended up just listening to it on SoundCloud, which is the first time I'm giving SoundCloud their ups in a while, because I actually thought they'd be out by the end of this year, but
they're still around. I mean, I'm glad, because I have my house mixes that I have. Yeah,
I mean, I don't want SoundCloud's discography to be gone. I'm just surprised they haven't run out of money yet. But nevertheless, Redemption is, what is this, like 44 minutes, 44. 13 songs.
It's not bad.
And I mostly liked it. It has like, it's not almost every other song, but it's almost like every two songs goes into a, this is rap versus this is trap. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a kind of good balance to what I want. I think because the defining characteristic between rap and trap is it's kind of in the drums and in the flow and in the percussion part of it, it's kind of the same trick you're doing. And in the flow, it's like that triplet thing that rappers do. And that's really all there is to it compared to rap. And so even though rap, you're looping tracks all the time and sometimes that can get repetitive, trap gets super repetitive because that's all that's kind of, now, that's not all of it, but that's a lot of what makes up the construction and makes it different. So that like 2-to-1 ratio on here, I really liked. Not too many features, but future. The ones that are there, Future is a feature. Kendrick Lamar is a feature. SZA, J. Cole, Jeremiah, not really sure. Yeah, Know the Little Bitch, J. Cole. I think he's actually raps a little bit about like lean and doing all that like smoke shit. Like, okay, so he's gone from fuck SoundCloud rappers to I am one. I love Lean.
I was going to get to that.
I love Lean as much as the next gentleman, but no. Overall, really talking about the songs though, I thought it was really good. I think J-Rock is one of those rappers that has a flow and a pattern in his melody and the way he speaks, and it adds a lot to the track itself. And that, like, it's like in King's Dead when he goes, I gotta go get it, like that kind of thing that he does. I think it's really catchy and it works really well in these songs. But the last half of the album, in my opinion, is the better part. And I don't even know if that's because of the features. I do think the songs with the features are really good because J-Rock is one of those musicians where he's all right on his own, but when he has someone else to work with on an album, I think it really goes well. King's Dead on this album is actually different from the Black Panther version of King's Dead because it doesn't include Kendrick's Red Light, Green Light part, which it's a fine part, but it messes with the otherwise trap flow of the song. And so I kind of didn't like it. And so this song doesn't have that. So great, that'll go into all my playlists. And then Wow Freestyle by Kendrick Lamar. I kind of was really good because musically and production-wise, it blended kind of early 2000s, almost outcast rap with trap. And it did it pretty well and pretty non-offensively in a way that wasn't annoying. And of course, the lyrics are fire as always. Production's really good on this. I was overall, no song on this album was incredible or popped out or stood out to me, but there were enough solid songs on this album and not too much that was just total filler where I was like, okay, this is a pretty decent album. Although I will say, until about song 6 or 7, the album was just kind of starting to blend together to me in my memory. What do you think though?
One thing again, nice to not hear trap all the time. There's a couple songs where it was trap, I go, eh. But it wasn't normal trap, as I would say.
There weren't a lot of rap. I don't think there were many.
Not disrespectful trap. I get disrespectful.
Were there, as in the song, disrespectful, without warning? Not like disrespectful as in any of the lyrics are necessarily better?
I mean, it wasn't like go crazy with these hoes.
Right.
Basically, I sounded very
weird. Not too much. That's, I love how you're like censoring, not censoring yourself.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to censor myself because I want to go off, but I'm so tired that my brain is just like, my gerbil in my brain is going like this, and now he's just like falling
over. Your gerbil is like crawling.
Yeah, he's like climbing on. Crawling the, like one peg at a time going like this. That's how I feel today. Anyways, no, I actually liked it. Rotation 112, which is a tongue twister. I did like, and then Out of Sight, Out of Mind, even though it featured Little, Little Bitch J. Cole. And I knew when it was talking about doing lean and shit, I'm like, really?
What was even the point of Kids on Drugs then?
Seriously, exactly. Like, what do you want? You're calling out Lil Pump, and then you go have a conversation with Lil Pump and be like, oh, we're friends now. Fucking hey, J. Cole. You are in that running of that Not a Little Bitch award. I think we might need... Okay, new rule. Anytime in Not a Little Bitch, every year, Not a Little Bitch is like a rainbow jersey in a world champion. When
you carry it for
you
a year.
Carry it for a year, you know?
So
you
get right now, stripes, it's the Win Butler Not a Little Bitch award.
Next year, I might as well, might be very
close. The Jermaine Cole
Not a Little Bitch Award. We're getting there. But anyways, it was good overall. Some of it blended together, and that's also why earlier when we did the single, I had to listen to the single because it started to blend together a bit much. I go, okay, let me make sure I'm referencing the right thing. And yeah, not bad. I mean, solid. Nothing wild. Nothing really stands out, but... Again, it's nice not to hear trap every fucking song. So
yeah,
a little refreshing.
Yeah,
that's compared to what we just watched.
Yeah. More on that later. So scoring system today, because I just came up with it. Oh, on a scale of 1 to 7, Acura NSXs. 7. I mean, which is better, 7 Acura NSXs or 1 Acura NSX? I'll have you figure that out. How many would you rate this one, this album? I can't wait for you to destroy an NSX.
It's my favorite car of all time.
I'm going to give it like 4.5 NSXs.
You can't chop up an NSX in half.
Yeah, you can.
What, you want because a little of, ILX baby?
No, because of NAFTA, people just left the...
The factory.
The factory, because of all the tariffs that Trump put on. And so there's half an NSX sitting there, and they're like, we're going to ship it anyway.
Damn, just the aluminium chest. Actually, I don't know if it's aluminium or steel, but just the skeleton of it.
Yeah, and so, like 4.5 Acura NSXs, it's a solid purchase, and you'll be happy with it. solid stream, you'll be happy with it, I guess, because that's how the music industry works for most situations. However, like, nothing special is going to stick out about it, except the fact you have 4.5 broken NSXs. What's your score?
It's going to give it, like, probably 4.
4?
Yeah. I was going to say 3, but that's a little unjust. It wasn't bad. Except, you know, no, 3. You put Keen's Dead on there. Fuck you. Because you still have La-Di-Di-Da on there. So 3 NSXs.
And that's secretly the best part of the song.
It's secretly the best worst part.
We have a Rap Trolls thing at the end of this year, and that's going to be on it.
There's a lot of Rap Trolls this year. There's so many.
Next, we're going to talk a little bit about Spotify and the fact they have a record label. I know that Financial Times thing is happening because it's happening to me too, and I didn't think this through, but I kept a quote from it. That's kind of the main gist of the story. And so Spotify has been very careful in, yay paywalls, Spotify has been very careful in trying to make sure that they don't sound like a record label, because then they're competing with people they have contracts with. However, they want to kind of pivot themselves to be a record label because they want to cut out the middleman and be like, they want to work with artists directly. So that way they don't have to pay licensing fees, and it could potentially be a good thing. Probably not, because Spotify is kind of big now, but the idea is that would be one less middleman for artists to go through. And so here's the exact details of it, because Spotify's had to publicly walk the line, but now we have details. The quote I'm saying from the Financial Times is that the company will not control the copyrights or sign artists like a record label does. Instead, it's licensing music from artists who own their own rights. So they're paying for the licensing rather than those logistics, but they're publishing on Spotify's platform. So to me, this seems like a small step in what could be something more, but they toe that line of making sure they don't piss off Warner, Sony, all those big ones.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I was about to say, before you read the quote, that I was worried that they'll just put music that they like on there, basically. Yeah. But with this, that they own their own rights, then, okay, that's a little bit better, what you're trying to do. At least it's a step in the right direction, at least.
Yeah.
In a big wave of shit, that's got to work out in the next 5-10 years.
Yeah, because...
Or everybody's going to be making trap and I'm going to go kill myself.
Everyone's going to be making trap for Fox, Disney, Comcast, Time Warner, Sony, Oprah, Apple.
LG. Samsung.
Galaxy S4. Thank you.
Tesla. Actually, no. Tesla's business model is awful. It's going to blow up.
I mean, doesn't Tesla have that thing where they're going to have like a Spotify competitor for their cars? Like, they'll have their own music streaming service along with your flamethrower.
No, that's a boring company. Separate.
Barely. You want to go into Sophie? This is going to be very fun. So, Sophie is an artist that I recommended in a music recommendation a couple, like, weeks ago. Because it's just wild and it's a big fuck you to pop music. And her album finally released, Oil of Every Pearl's Uninside. That's 9 songs, 39 minutes long. And apparently we have very strongly different opinions on it. So Sean, let her rip.
Jesus Christ. Okay. The first song isn't bad. It's okay to cry. The rest of the fucking album is like putting a screwdriver and a defibrillator in my brain, turn on the power, and it's blending it up and see what the hell happens. The song, what was it? The 1:40. Not okay. Literally sounds like my computer is crashing and the world aside is like going down. It's so bad. It's the part of, I wouldn't describe it as EDM, but the part of like raves and stuff that I hate. Because it is awful. I don't understand it at all. It sounds like if Skrillex is overdosing on drugs and made an album. And like passed out in his bathroom, accidentally banged his fucking head on his laptop a few times, and like corrupted the file and then uploaded it. This is the sound that it is.
Or like recorded the sound of like a program crashing and the audio just like keeps going on forward.
You
like,
know that when, you know that Windows error? Doom, doo, 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 and if you accidentally make
if you keep touching it, it just makes that noise. It
and it goes durr, that's literally the fucking drop sound out of this album. Like, oh my god, this God, Lord, awful.
So this is the episode in which Shannon learns industrial. and what that brand of electronic music is like.
Oh, it's kind of hell, how do people listen to that shit? I don't know how many drugs do you have to be on to like that shit, but
I was on zero drugs and I mostly like this album.
You're fucking stupid. This is awful. Jesus. Okay.
Okay, so I'll say what I like about this album and then you can have your rebuttal to any.
Oh, I'm gonna cut in, baby. I'm gonna like okay. Break your fucking laptop.
So, you know, let's just go right in because it's gonna be fun. It's different. What do you have against different?
Okay, that's I will allow it because I always say make something different. And if it sucks dick, I will. Well, some people never mind. If it's bad, I'll yell at you for it's bad. If it's good, I'll give you praise.
The reason
like we did yes. that with Kanye. So you know, fucking live yes. politics.
And I will absolutely concede that this is not music for everyone. That this is like it's hard to make a. Music recommendation for most people for certain types of like metal music and screamo.
Oh yeah, exactly. This is the screamo version of EDM. You either love it or you don't.
Yeah, it's like
exactly like that.
Yeah, I think it's like people's first reaction to dubstep when like Skrillex came on the scene and people were like, it all sounds like toilet sounds, like that Hank Hill thing.
I mean, yeah, okay, when it got popularized, because like he didn't start dubstep. But,
right,
yeah.
When it got popularized. Scream,
actually, my favorite house music artist, ironically, Scream, started dubstep as garage music in like 08.
And it Don't all sleep. Comes full circle to Audioface.
And it all comes full circle that house music is Kane.
But.
I'm joking.
I mean, kind of.
It is. I mean.
It's a very.
It's the best in EDM because it's not bullshit.
It's. A pattern and construction that transcends a lot of genres of music.
Space and time.
And specifically how it's different is it's playing around with motifs of bubblegum pop along with kind of the destruction of that as it's happening. And you can even see that kind of from the cover. It's this mix of like beauty and artificial like ideas and motifs. Human intelligence. No, no, not going Alex Jones here. But to talk about the album itself, or at least review it, the whole album is not kind of the insane metal clanging, screeching thing.
No.
There are parts of it, and I actually like this. Like, Infatuation, Not Okay, Is It Cold in the Water? There's this whole string of songs in the middle to where it's kind of softer and Sophie sing, and she has like a pretty good voice.
Not okay.
That's incorrect. But yeah. Infatuation.
Infatuation.
And pretending are a little bit softer. Yeah. And that's.
It's Okay to Cry. Those three songs were good.
Yeah. And the end, like, I guess Pretend World, because Whole New World, Pretend World is a 9-minute song that ends the album.
Yeah.
And the first half of it's kind of faster, and the second half of it's softer. And
yeah.
My point there is it shows that Sophie has range. It's not just this one thing. And my third counterpoint is one of your favorite Vince Staples songs, Yeah Right, is produced by Sophie.
Yeah, I'm not. Some of her. This album is super screwdrivery. The other songs that I've heard from her haven't been. So that's when I listened to it, it caught me off guard. Completely caught me off guard.
Interesting.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the stuff I've heard her produce or other things, great. Because I do like, as I said, when I first listened to it, the first song is pretty good. And then the rest, I'm like, whoa, didn't expect that. And I hate that.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, if you didn't expect that.
I didn't know what it was. That's really funny. I'm like, what the fuck? And it wasn't a good what the fuck. Like, you get up the butt and you don't like it up the butt. You're like, ooh, run home.
there's a lyric in Fourth Dimension about that. Where Kanye's like, she said I'm in the wrong holes. I said I'm lost.
Which is really bad. If you're in the wrong hole, you don't know it. Come on, dog. It's pretty simple.
Let's get back to Sophie.
Let's
get back to the album. maybe you can describe this using... Maybe you can review it using the sound of Acura's crashing. But I'm going to stay on the system and use the number of Acura's I will give this. And I'm going to give it 5.
Damn.
So that means I liked it slightly more than the J-Rock album. Because the J-Rock album didn't really do much different or unique. Sophie plainly does. It's definitely an acquired taste. It's not for everyone. But for this specific kind of deranged electronic music that I listen to, I actually like it. Sean, meanwhile.
Two and a salvaged NSX. Like, you're trying to fix up the NSX. You're, like, building pieces and parts. So that way you can build an NSX for like 60K instead of 250. That's what this album.
Like
is.
A rain damage from like a hurricane.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Texas,
like a flooded one. You gotta find a crashed one that has the right batteries and everything, so you can put them in. And yeah, that's what we want.
Right. We will have.
It's not a one, because it's something different. But that's it. So good job.
Most reasonable man in America.
Yeah, always.
We're gonna take a super tiny break, but we'll be right back very shortly.
After these messages. If we're recording, you can put that in.
Yeah. Sean.exe, not.
Were you still recording on here?
Not on here.
Damn it, because just my reaction. I'm like, Sean.exe stuff response. Hold on.
I'm going to keep that.
How do I force an error on my computer?
Don't do it, because we need to. I'm going to record the second part of it, but I don't usually do that. Because I have enough power, and the episode's going to be short enough. Okay, you ready to go? I mean, you can just YouTube the Windows error noise. I'm recording if you want to do it.
Just that, like a million times.
Okay.
Sean.exe stopped responding.
I like insert that thing into the... Okay, let's... Get back.
There's an hour of this?
An hour of what? Oh, yeah. Welcome to the internet, Sean.
Even my speaker's breaking. It's like, bam, bam. So yeah, you got the photos then from yesterday up and she...
I'll put them up later.
Yeah, just put them in a drive or whatever's easy so that way I can look, select photos for the sexy women's that Sean will be seducing.
Yes.
Allegedly.
We're
getting there.
We're getting there. We're gonna...
Sean's out of retirement. Just gotta get me back in the game. I gotta get picked up by a team. See, I'm a free agent. See, right now...
Your love life is the decision. It actually kind of is.
Loki, at one point in my life, there was the decision, and I go, that was not a good time. I chose the wrong team. I chose Cleveland.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Cleveland!
Okay. And then there.
Thanks, Daddy.
Hey there. Happy Father's Day. Let's start.
He's out there. All right.
He's not here. So wait. Oh, that's breaking as fuck. All right.
Good, that means you can put out more.
Yeah.
I didn't even mean it like that, but
let's go to
the mines, the phones.
And at, yeah, 36. I'm gonna put the scissor story right there.
Oh.
Okay, and we're back, so...
My face.
Yeah, I'll just use that as a screen cap, it'll be awesome. But anyways, we're back, and we have some breaking news. SZA just posted an announcement to Twitter saying her voice is not permanently damaged.
Firstly, I want to thank everyone for sending me love and kindness. Today, we give it a go and hit the stage at Firefly, so you at 8, so yeah. So thank you to the incredible team of doctors... And vocal technicians that have taken time to see me over the last few weeks in every city. I'm blessed to say my voice is not permanently damaged, and I've been working daily to get it back slowly but surely. So she's clear. She's off the DL. You know, she's ready to play again. Maybe the tour she's on, they'll make her sing like 18 times again. Like,
yeah.
Overdoing it. You know, it's legal slavery.
Yeah, it's... I mean, she's getting paid for it, so I'm not going to call it slavery.
Right. But like, oh, we made it cause, like, footballers, or American football professional slavery. I'm like, no. They get away with drugs.
The way that the tweet kind of is coming out, and the way that all of this is going down between TDE, I'm still very cautious and careful around it all.
Yeah.
Because...
There's still a lot of revelations that are going on.
Yeah, and ones that could come about, like, the relationship and the treatment and the environment between TDE and SZA and everything that's going on there. I'm still going to be very careful, but overall, it's kind of good news that it does seem like SZA's voice seems to be healing, but it's been really back and forth on that. Yeah. And then we had a story about Sid from Odd Future, who did an interview for Billboard's Pride issue. And part of that, which was really funny, was she talked about what it was like to be the only female and queer member of Odd Future back then. And she said, looking back on it, it's kind of hilarious because everyone there was super gay. because Tyler, the Creator, Frank Ocean, like, those are all straight obvious.
Yeah.
And then was talking about, to bring up this conversation again, having an all queer women's music festival, which we had.
Queer women's now, not just women's.
Yeah.
Damn, and we gotta get super specific now. Why can't we have like an all transsexual festival? That'd be kind of lit because, like, out of.
I mean, like.
Fucking. Wow, I'm blanking. Never mind. Never mind.
RuPaul's Drag Race looks fun. Make that make it a music festival.
Can we have a RuPaul's Drag Race version of a festival?
That festival would sell.
And that's a good moneymaker. We patent it. audio face drag.
Really fast. Got to do that. No, but I thought that was just fun to put in. Yeah. Next, Superfly. So we saw the film and we listened to the soundtrack. And Sean breathed in heavily, so.
This is just funny. And we were in the theater together, and we had like 25 time instances where we can't say things because there's people around us. We're in a public setting. We just go. In the film, multiple times.
First of all, I think it's a good idea to assume that the entire time you're watching Superfly, to think of the main character as The Weeknd. And everything that happens to him is a Weeknd song.
That's what we kept doing.
Different moments, just like, oh, XYZ happened. I can't feel my face and I.
Yeah. Just everything about it. It was like The Weeknd, but the
main character.
But the main character is a little bit taller than The Weeknd because he's too tall.
I mean, the main character looks a little bit less like a depressed. Never mind. I'm not gonna shit on The Weeknd that hard. This isn't the kind of person who's going to be making songs about bad relationships. This is not is not Priest and Superfly. Your computer's done. Thanks for playing, Sean. So.
I'm just going to pout.
Anyway, so.
It's Superfly, not Pascal. Do not collect $200.
Superfly the album. I love how your computer just died. And that sums up your week altogether. The album is an hour and 17 minutes long with 23 songs.
It was a lot. I knew that because it's a film. It's film, so.
And it's produced by Future.
Yeah, it was Future, 21, and Lil.
I don't know why. I don't know why those are the artists on here because Future is the main artist who produced it and is on most of this.
Yeah. And I heard 21.
Yeah, he's on a song.
He's on a couple songs, and you heard him in the theater because, you know. His disrespectful voice is on there.
It was really a nice experience to listen to trap music on, like, a movie theater screen.
That was weird.
Because usually it's, like, the generic, like, trap music that gets made for movies by, like, composers for things. So it's very different. It's a visceral experience. It's kind of great. But what do you think about the music first? And then we can talk about the film.
Music was okay. Wasn't anything special. Pretty trappy, naturally. I knew that going in because it's
Future.
Future, 21 and Lil Wayne, fucking A. It wasn't bad like Migos. A lot of people like Migos, but it didn't feel like every single song was the same like Culture 2.
Right.
Because that's what I have a problem with a lot of trap, where I swear it's the same template over and over again. A couple of the songs on this album were shorter, and a couple of them were longer, too. But I knew that it's also a film score, so they have to be different in the different settings and stuff of the film. And you could hear that in the soundtrack as well. It wasn't like a normal trap album where everything's the same. This one, you can feel the different parts of the film in it. So, overall, actually not bad for a future album.
Yeah.
But again, I'm taking it with a grain of salt, because it's not a normal album.
Yeah.
Naturally.
And having heard a lot of trap produced albums this year, way too many. I will give it this. Future has put into this album a lot more range than I think most artists are capable of, which is really funny because all these quote-unquote artists that we're talking about all use different producers. Right. Whereas, like, Future produced many, if not most, of these songs. Mm-hmm. And so it shows that it's possible, which is good, because I don't want to say negative things about trap or any genre, per se. I want every genre to sound as good as possible at all times. Obviously not going to happen because people aren't that talented. But I want to be able to say that, no, there's different styles or types of trap that make it sound a little more different, a little more interesting. And maybe we're not really into the genre's infancy, because it's been around in some way for almost a decade. It's just really reaching prominence now. But maybe because it's reaching prominence, we can start to see people do things a little differently with it. And I won't say that this is that album. It's not. But
there's little hints of
there's range. Yeah, there's definitely range. I like the first half entirely more than the first disc entirely more than the second disc. I think that's by design. And also, this is different from the Black Panther soundtrack in that while most of that was like produced by Kendrick Lamar, not all the songs were actually in the film, and a lot of it was just composed by like a regular composer. Mm-hmm. Whereas this
was all the film.
This is like a special like Director X and Future production, literally. At the end of the movie credits said produced by Future. And that was just...
That was weird.
Welcome to 2018. Do you have other thoughts about it?
No, and the film was funny.
Oh yeah, the film. Let's talk about that. So that got a pretty like middling score on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you agree with it? Stuff.
Actually, no. I want to give it like a 65.
Interesting.
Like maybe even a 70.
Yeah. Like, keep in mind the Rotten Tomatoes score is like
And I know why it got a low score.
Yeah.
But it depends, and I knew what I was getting into, kind of what I was getting into going to that film. Like, you know, it's going to be cheesy and stupid, but, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. As I told him, I have a short attention span today. If it's shit, I'm walking out. Granted, I stayed because he was driving a Lexus LC330, and that shit's a fucking gorgeous-ass automobile.
It's a fine vehicle.
It's a fine vehicle.
There's some Lambos in there. Migos are happy.
Lambo!
Like
I automatically did that.
Right? It's almost a thing now. But the film itself, it got negative reviews for two reasons. A, all the reviewers were white. B, because...
not even that. All the reviewers grew up on a cul-de-sac.
Right. And this is a film where if you don't understand the history of like blaxploitation films and aspects of black culture, especially southern black culture, it's not going to be a film that speaks to you when you get it in that way.
I kept laughing because I'm like, I'm actually understanding a lot of this. This is hilarious.
Yeah, just by listening to Trap, understanding these people, being around these people, I'm not from the South at all. I'm the exact opposite of this.
English has dips.
But,
growing
still,
up the seas and a couple other people.
Yeah, but yeah, you get this.
I get the feeling.
Yeah, you get this understanding just by culturing yourself.
I'm not whitewashed.
Yeah. Also, you're mixed.
Also, I'm fucking Vermont Beach.
Yeah. But the second reason, honestly, is because the film didn't have much to offer in terms of plot. Like, it was just an entertaining film from, like, start to finish. But even the ending felt very anticlimactic. It was kind of just, like, a series of events that lead to a certain result. Rather Pretty than, much. Like, you get some feelings of tension that are there, but it's not like Phantom Thread, where it's, like, this...
Oh, that's a film.
Yeah, Phantom Thread was... Whereas Phantom Thread was more of, like, ongoings and tension and ups and downs with, like, a twist ending. This was kind of... It was just like a film. And it wasn't, like, super true to blaxploitation in that you could actually take the film sort of seriously. Whereas, like, blaxploitation... Like, the original Superfly and, like, Shaft and these films like that, they're kind of... funny and kooky by design. This was a little bit more serious in tone, but wasn't wholly bad.
No, and then, yeah, that's. I thought it was going to be, the whole thing was going to be really silly.
Right.
It took more serious approach than I thought it would.
Yeah.
So, not bad. A lot better than I thought it was going to be. I came in expecting like a 20%. I came out there with a 65. That's a lot percent more.
On the Rotten Tomatoes scale.
If we want to... On the Sean Tomatoes. Sean Tomatoes scale.
Sean Tomatoes.
Jonathan Tomatoes.
Shout out Matt Atchity. But if we want to do...
call me Jonathan, I'm fucking slitting your throat. Anybody who calls me Jonathan, you're getting these hands. You're just going up.
What if girlfriend one or girlfriend two of yours calls you Jonathan? Or both of them at the same time? Then will you allow it?
They might be getting these hands. No, I can't say that because I don't want to be XXX Tentacion.
So let's review this before we get in trouble.
I had to say nothing. I played the fifth. Emails.
I almost let off a spoiler there, but how would you rate separately the score, quote unquote, or like the album that accompanied the film and then the film? For me, because you kind of gave your score, I'll give in the only rating system that matters. How many Acuras out of 7? Mm-hmm. The film, I'll give a 5. Nothing special, nothing memorable, yep. But not bad.
That's exactly
what and the album, like a 4. Like, not horrible, but like...
almost about the same as I was going to do. It was going to be 3.5 for the album. Because the second disc was like, you're trying to salvage it. It's like, it's good. It can go good or bad.
Yeah.
You might be able to get the parts, might not be able to, end up fishing up more coin.
I could have gone without the entire second part. But
exactly. If it was just the first half, it would be great. But again, it's a film score, so there's only so much you can do with it.
And it's a trap film score.
And it's a trap film score.
Interesting.
Which is the first time I've ever heard that, so not bad. What's our final story before? I keep stopping my laptop. I'm going to break it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We did have one last story.
I mean, we did because, you know, it would be nice. But
well, I think we all like to end audio. It's going to cut off in 5 minutes.
It's
going to
cut off.
We all always like to end audio face off on a high note. And we can straight. That's hilarious.
It's so rough in the
streets. It's so bad. Weezer finally made a hit. They covered Africa by Toto because a Twitter account annoyed them into it. There's a fan-led campaign to get Weezer cover Toto by Africa.
I don't know why. It's super random.
Because this is the internet and it's kind of awesome.
That's what the internet's made for.
The internet's made for like absurdist shit like this. This is really what brings me joy in the world. They tweeted at the band members constantly, "Can you come bless the rains down in Africa?" And so
I can guess so many ways.
They get your Superfly brain out of this. The Weezer. What was this here? Weezer said they're going to release like a black album or something like that. That was going to be different from Pacific Daydream because it was going to be darker, but Pacific Daydream I could really barely get through.
Please don't make another Pacific Daydream because that was trash. That album was like if a baby diarrhea peas. That's how bad it was. Like there's still little chunks
in a pool.
Of peas. No, too soon. That's too real. Okay.
Shout out to Sanchon's day job.
Shout out to my day job outside of triathlon. Now you jinx me. Now tomorrow I'm going to look over and be like,
this week was the bad week. This is going to get better now.
It's going to get better now. Heal, please.
We help. But don't do that. My bed is going to collapse. But thank you
for
watching and listening this episode of Audio.
By the way, it's their biggest hit in nearly 10 years for Weezer. Weezer needs to alive themselves, needs to love
go
themselves.
Home and rethink their music.
They need to like give themselves a hug because it's been rough in the streets.
They need to go home and rethink their music.
If a cover of a song from the 80s is your biggest hit in nearly a decade, something's clearly wrong, so change your shit.
Couldn't have said it Weezer. Better myself, and many artists should too. Thank you for listening and watching Audio Face. We really appreciate it. If you love this shit or you don't like it, tell us about it. Tweet us or follow us on Instagram at AudioFacePod. Rate us on all of the places that helps us get found faster, especially on iTunes. Sean, you can be found at SW Suarez everywhere, indeed, where you'll be, have been, and will be posting more shit from your triathlons, which you're doing one next week. He's learning how to content. It's kind of great. I'm kind of poking him there. And then Dan from the internet, I'm cooking things up. It'll be great.
I'm producing something.
Follow me on, I'm producing way too many things. Follow me on Twitter at Dan from the web, Instagram at Dan from the internet. And yeah, see you. Oh, next week, we're going to look at all the Kanye produced albums that have come out because we missed a couple.
Okay.
and we'll kind of look at those, but it's kind of also a chill week. And then we'll also be getting ready for the end of the month, which will be a big Gorillaz, Drake, Bonanza.
That's gonna be a big, that's a big week.
That's gonna be a big week.
And then that's the start of Seanest Friend.
And then we get some time off a little bit, but that's getting ahead of ourselves. Ahead. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Have you ever been lost?
Oh my god.
Are you feeling down in the world? Take Percocets. Side effects may include hospitalization, suicide, and or death.
You straight sound like Jordan Peterson. Have you ever felt lost?
Where you know you have to do a marriage. With these incels. How did he even do that voice? He's Canadian. Yeah, because, well, he grew up in Alberta.
Okay, then, yeah, that's why he doesn't sound...
That's why, yeah. He has, like, a fake English accent. That's why, because of some of the stuff he says, I'm like, I know a hella Canadians who are from that area, and I don't, like... I mean, that's why he's, like, King Cuck.
I mean, it's not even fake. Jordan Peterson just sounds like an ostrich.
If an ostrich could speak, it's like Jordan Peterson.
What we need to be do is afraid of the lobster, for the lobster is the highest form of creature we know.
Government regulation is a steal.
The thing about feminism is, why else do women wear lipstick? It's to signal that they want to have sex with men.
You know, everything about that is about Christian values.